Welcome to Agents of Speak. The companions are the superhero speak. No, that's not right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's it. And Agents of Nothing? We're not sure. This is Ben. With me as usual is...
Hydra.
There's always got to be one in the group, right?
Yes. With me as usual, we have John and Dave up to their usual antics. So, we all just finished watching yet another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A pretty eventful one. Well, yes and no. So, it was episode 19. I believe the subtitle was The Only Light in the Darkness, which was a clever pun for the villain that they dealt with this particular week, which was Blackout, which they introduced very early, and they foreshadowed in a prior episode being released from the fridge. So
yes, I remember that. Yes. I mentioned that.
And as we found, Hydra's antics ran deeper than we expected in that while he was supposed to be getting rehabilitated and inhibited, he got enhanced. So that was an interesting aspect of things. But, you know, elephant in the room, Ward is still evil and entrenched in the mix. Discuss. Yes.
But he's been outed. He came out of the closet.
He's been partially outed. He's been outed. He essentially outed himself inadvertently to Sky, but and very directly to and briefly to Koenig by killing him. But no one else knows.
Well, I before tonight, I was still a little bit on the fence with Ward. Like maybe his love for Sky will redeem him in the end. Yeah, after this episode...
No heart of gold there, no.
He killed Patton Oswalt. I'm sorry. He crossed the line with me. It's overboard. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I have to say, Patton Oswalt's character is kind of annoying. I might have killed him myself.
Well, and that was the thing with the scene with the lie detector. He had the opportunity to take Ward out.
Yeah.
And fell for that skyline.
Right. Well, that's the thing, that this is supposed to be, like, the most impervious lie detector ever, and he had all the red flags there. Like, he had the fluctuations, you know, being abnormal. He had all the signs to point to, this guy is not telling the full truth, and this guy is a bad guy. And he even went so far as to ask him follow-up questions, had his gun drawn, and yet somehow bought into it. I actually felt that was a little bit of a stretch.
Right. Well, my issue...
But he's not a very good agent.
With the scene was, he drew the gun and held it out, like, letting him know he was onto him. Whereas if he didn't, then he could have just gone to Coulson and said, Ward didn't pass the lie detector. How should we handle this?
Right. Well, again, not a good agent.
Ward may still have feelings for her. It's just that he's too evil.
Right. He's too entrenched. He's too fanatical about the line of duty that he has to follow. He doesn't see that as inextricable from his feelings for Sky. You know, yeah. He feels that somehow they can, you know, against all odds, find a way for these things to reconcile each other.
He probably thinks that Sky will come to his side once he explains it to her.
Perhaps he does. I mean, you have to realize that I don't think that Ward is inherently evil per se. I think that he believes in what Hydra is selling, and that's just as scary. But I'm curious how they're spinning it to make it so palpable that all these people are willing to follow it. You know, what is the message that they're delivering that are making these people turn to their cause?
Well, the message is get rid of all the dissidents and you'll have a perfect society. And you get rid of them by any means.
So they're the Tea Party?
So Ward is a selective utopian, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. It, also known as a dictator or Hitler, so...
Yes. Know. He doesn't strike me as that type, though. I guess he does, kind of. I guess we'll see how it plays out.
I also like the line... when Sky was trying to convince, I can't remember the character's name, so Patton Oswalt.
Agent Koenig.
Eric, that's right, she kept calling him Eric. Convince him to, let's hack into the NSA satellites. And she's like, come on, tell Steve Rogers here to suit up, grab his shield. I was like, Patton Oswalt is Captain America. That could be funny.
Yeah, well, we had shout-outs for Captain America. We had a shout-out for Bruce Banner.
Who did you say created this technology?
I'm sure nothing could go wrong with that.
Well, there's also another mention of Romanoff. She keeps coming up as the ideal case.
Yeah.
Things. So, well, and also towards the end, and not to really jump to the end per se, but towards the end there was also a reference to, I'm assuming, Maria Hill in the reference to Maria.
Let's not jump ahead yet. Cause
I'm just saying that much. I didn't say the context.
But I mean, the episode overall, it was like, this time you had the story moving forward with the character, with what's going on for S.H.I.E.L.D. or for this team, and then at the same time you had a Freak of the Week episode thrown in.
Yeah, so we did have a Freak of the Week. What I did enjoy about the lie detector scene is it was sort of a not only was it, you know, validating and sort of building out the character of Eric Koenig himself and his, you know, adherence to policy, but also giving us yet another chance to do some exposition on the characters, you know, a little bit of character study in each of them in these answers to these questions. So, you know, like the Desert Island question and things like that.
Can I take a guess on what your favorite answer was in that scene?
You can take a guess.
When Simmons said she would want the TARDIS.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'll give you that. That was the best answer.
Simmons wants the TARDIS.
Yeah, that's the weirdest answer though. Is what would be in the box? Simmons. Okay, why would we put her in the box?
That's all he needs.
A little kinky. Okay, okay.
Not that much. But I also like the egg and the rock question. You know, Melinda May is instantly, one is edible. You know, whereas the others are like, there's so many ways that I couldn't even begin to explain.
Yes. Well, and Ward's was...
And was, one's edible, the other's a weapon.
A weapon, yeah. Which you'd expect Melinda May to say.
Yeah.
Actually, with Melinda May, they're both weapons, so...
Right. Anything is a weapon.
Yeah.
That's not a question, so...
Well, there you go. Then it was very telling.
Yep.
To Ward, an egg is food. To Melinda, they're both weapons, but only one is edible.
Well, she'd say one weapon is for killing, and the other one is a rock. Leaving us to figure out. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Because that's, you know, she's the cavalry.
One is a weapon with a hard exterior, and the other is a rock.
Yeah, they could have played that a whole bunch of ways.
They could have. I would actually have been interested to see Coulson's answers to those questions, but we didn't get that opportunity because he already had clearance.
Yes. So what did you think of Coulson's, you know, not wanting to tell his ex-girlfriend that he's alive?
He's an idiot.
Well, yes and no. I think he was wise. I think it was smart because he clearly... You know, could tell that she was recovering from from the loss of him, and it would be a security breach to expose himself in that way, and it would be traumatic to her emotionally, for her to have to deal with that all over again. That to know that he's alive, but at the same time, they can't be together because
first, not a security breach anymore, because you know
he's a fugitive.
Second off,
a security breach because he's a fugitive now.
Second off. That is the classic soap opera show. It's like, oh, I can't tell her because of reasons.
Reasons.
And you know, so you
weighty,
get
deep reasons.
Yeah, and you get at least five or six episodes of back plot with that. But in real life, you find somebody like that, screw everything.
Right.
You know?
No, you screw her and not everything.
No, hey.
All right.
But only if she's in a box.
Wait.
Oh God, here it goes.
but no, seriously.
Sorry. I shouldn't make the hole in the box reference. All right, continuing.
What I was gonna say is my take on it was, you know, if he had told her, there's a reason for them to revisit that character later on, with her thinking he's dead. if they don't ever want to bring her back, they don't have to now.
Okay, any reason to bring Amy Acker back? Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see her again. Amy Acker is good people.
So what happens when Coulson finds out that Bill Paxton isn't dead?
Yeah, that's a bit of a... I mean, I guess that's a good cover to sort of, like, throw them off the scent of tracking him down. Like, he didn't give them a story where he got away. He gave them a story where he's dead. So he's no longer a threat, and no one's going to be coming after him. He can essentially be the clairvoyant again. You know, be behind the scenes and have no one on his trail.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the clearance anymore.
Clearance to what?
Yeah, right. He doesn't have the clearance. He's got all of
everything,
the...
Right, everything he needed clearance to get to is openly accessible on the internet now. So all he has to do is Google it now.
Except for what's on that hard drive.
Right,
yeah.
Except for that. So,
which is, you know...
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, so annoying,
it's an annoying plot device since, right, like you just pointed out, all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s major secrets are on the internet. Like, and they got all these great weapons out of the icebox.
Well,
who cares what's on that hard drive?
I'm pretty sure Black Widow kind of took a look at look, here's the plans for the nuclear device that, you know, that you can put in a small box. I don't think I'll put that on the internet, too. You know,
maybe,
I'm pretty sure that stuff like that didn't make it out.
Maybe
you
not.
You can't assume anything.
Right.
You know what happens when you assume, John. So.
Yes.
So we had the team split up. We had Coulson and friends head out in the big black bus to take down Blackout. You know, when we touched on the fact that his powers are now amped up, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Because of what Hydra, under the guise of S.H.I.E.L.D., was doing in the fridge. And so I guess what they didn't really cover too deeply is the origin of his abilities, how they came about, and what they might have done to amp them up in the first place. You know, they're sort of touching in some supernatural type aspects now with characters like him. And I'd be curious if they're going to try to tie these to some common formulas or origins to explain these powers.
Right. You're right. Because, I mean, they've done an interesting job in the movie universe of tying a lot of things together. You know, Howard Stark being part of the team that made a super soldier and all that stuff. Right. Are they going to start tying these things together in the show? You know?
Well, I don't know if they can tie them together, but so far the only person who's had powers his entire life was that guy with the fire power. Everything else they keep explaining with, oh, well, he was experimenting with this, so he fell into a vat of nuclear waste that, and, you know, your general, you know, superpower origin thing.
Right, and they even did that with, I lost my train of thought. Yay me. Like, everyone they've introduced, there's been some sort of tie to something, some sort of formula, or some sort of, you know, making all these guys metahumans, not really, some sort of mutated humanoids.
Get upset. Don't do that.
So, like, even with the Scorch one, I mean, they didn't really explain that too deeply. And maybe they will sort of have to broach that a little bit, that there are people with these original origins. And with Blackout, I was reading about his origin before this week's episode, and it is something that they could explain with science. Because I think the classic origin is that he was scientists working on dark matter experiments and something went wrong and, you know, imbued him with these dark matter manipulation abilities. So,
you know, if you're a scientist in this universe, you literally have a 50% chance of getting powers.
Reason that there's so many scientists in the universe. It's like a very popular career choice.
Yes.
Of course, the other 50% is horrible death, but, you know...
Right.
You take your
hero,
chance.
Hero, villain, horrible death. That's sort of the... You know, they're, and, like, a very small percentage of just regular scientists doing science-y things. So...
Cure cancer, become a supervillain. Oh, it's a tough decision.
Oh, you're a scientist? What'd you invent? Oh, I invented Velcro. Oh, so you Velcro powers? No, I just invented Velcro.
So anyway.
Invent ideas that stick.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
So anyway. So we had Blackout. He apparently had an obsessive crush on Coulson's girlfriend.
Who doesn't?
Or late girlfriend. And that's why he was stalking her, you know, creepy stalker style.
Yes. What a cool power for a stalker, to be able to turn all the lights off around you.
That is an interesting power. It's an unusual power. Between that and being able to, like, take the life out of people and the power out of things.
Where does he go during the day?
And he also seemed to be able to, like, zoom away from an area at very high speeds.
Yeah, I noticed that one.
Which was a little bit of an odd mix in there.
But where does he go during the day?
Does he hang out with
Dracula?
Yes. He just stays in shadowy places that we do not speak of, like the YMCA. So anyway, obviously they saved the day, you know, took down the threat or defused him or something along those lines.
It's like they blew him up.
Yeah, it seemed that way, but I don't know if that means he's gone forever. You know how they are with these things. But somewhere in the mix of things, Melinda May just up and left.
Yes.
She just walks away.
I really don't think it fit with her character. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
I agree with you. It doesn't necessarily fit her character, but knowing at the end where she's headed,
right,
it makes some sense. Because how else is she supposed to get in touch with people that she needs to get in touch with?
Right, that's what I was going to say. It didn't really feel like it felt with her character. It felt like the lazy writing of, we need someone to go out and do what we need them to do, and we'll get to that in a second. Melinda just leaves. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, without even like
thing over
like,
here.
Right. Not even the fact that she left, that she didn't even like say goodbye to Coulson, leave him a note or anything. She just left. Yeah.
I had been hoping it was a double blind where she, you know, go out and then watch the situation and come back because she hadn't trusted somebody, but everybody's completely blinded by that.
Yes, I know. I was hoping for that too, that she would jump and save Eric at the last minute.
That'd be interesting. So, but talking about her for a minute, I do have some curiosity about that end scene where we see her again.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing the lonely man walk down the highway.
You were hoping to hear sad Hulk music in the background.
Melinda May could be our She-Hulk. No, actually, I'd see her better as a Red Hulk. I think she could fit that role better.
Oh,
but anyway.
No, Red Hulk. Yes, no.
No?
No.
All right. Anyway, so she's walking down the street. SUV comes to pick her up. Older Asian woman, you sort of go, and based on the conversation and the look, you sort of assume that, all right, this is her mother that she called.
Uh-huh.
And you don't really get that diffused necessarily. They don't rectify that either way, but what they do reveal is that she's, whether she's Melinda May's mother or not, she's also a agent with connections.
Well,
or a former agent with connections.
Yeah,
with
not an agent.
To Maria Hill.
Right. Not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Right. No. I got the feeling that it was her mother because she went 500 miles? And you don't even say thank you? It's like, that's a mother. I'm sorry.
It is, but that doesn't mean that it's actually her mother.
No, it's her mother.
Okay.
Cool. Your agency's falling apart, and everyone is going against everyone else, and there's Hydra everywhere.
Like, Mom, I need a place to crash.
Exactly. Who do you trust but your mother?
My job is now a fugitive agency. Can I crash on your couch?
You always trust Mom.
That's true. She always got you in a pinch.
Right.
So if Melinda May is so dangerous that they call her the Cavalry, how dangerous is her mom?
Well, she's only been called the Cavalry since the incident that sort of broke her. She wasn't always that way.
Yes. You know,
they addressed that earlier in the season. So she hasn't always been badass or had a reputation as being badass. That sort of came with certain experiences. So there's no saying necessarily her mom is of the same cut, had the same set of experiences or the same, you know, path, per se. Her mom could be a desk agent, for all we know, of some sort.
I think they call her mom the Legion, but, you know.
I like that.
Yes.
Yep.
We are Legion. so, yeah. So all in all, I do think it rounded out to be a pretty interesting episode. A lot of interesting developments. And we left on a huge cliffhanger of sorts,
Yes.
where Skye figures things out. Also, we get confirmed that Skye is her only name, other than her orphanage-given name of, what was it, Mary Sue Poots?
Yes. So she's like Cher or Madonna.
Right, so Skye, no last name. But so we get the... So she figures out that Ward is not who she's working for, but clearly not working for the side of the angels, being that she killed Koenig and stuffed him in a ceiling tile. But then, you know, goes along, plays the smart agent card, and composes herself, and goes along for the ride, looking for an out, but not finding one, and is now embedded with Ward as the counter agent, so to speak. We'll see how that goes. See how well she can play aloof and how long.
I'm surprised she was able to do it for that long. Seriously.
Well, I don't.
Well, she's getting better.
It can't be too long, because once they get to wherever he thinks they need to go, he's going to be like, decrypt this, and if you don't, I'm going to shoot you. He's going to have to do that.
Maybe. Maybe. They could play it that they're going somewhere. Like you said, he had another stop to make, right? So they could be heading to make that other stop and be captured by Hydra agents, and he could maintain his cover as Ward, the good guy, while being a fellow prisoner, and sort of try to sweet talk her into giving them what they want.
I don't know. After taking out all those guys in the hallway, I think if he just says, oh, there's two guys with a gun. Oh, we have to give up. Sorry, I can't do anything. I think that would probably be a giveaway.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
So along these lines, something got me thinking tonight when, you know, he was asking the questions and he's like, oh, your baseline's spiking already, you know?
Yep.
And in last week's episode, when he was getting ready to come back to the team,
mm-hmm.
you know, Garrett's beating him up and he goes, you know, what's your name? And he goes, you know, Agent Ward, blah, blah. Is that not his real name?
It probably isn't. It's probably his cover ID. It's probably not his actual identity.
So could he be somebody else from the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, that's a good possibility. I'd be curious to see how that plays out. He could be someone that, some known entity that we have not yet heard of his real name.
Right.
So I'm curious now about that one. The other thing with that, on the lie detector itself, one of the things he had done is he had shoved that little piece of paperclip under his fingernail. And that I've actually heard of as sort of a spoof for lie detectors, like basically sort of screws your baseline so that you seem always in this agitated state, but they baseline as your calm state, and therefore they can't pick up lies.
Right.
I know that because that happened in an episode of White Collar. But that aside.
I thought you used that to beat the lie detector before.
I disavow any knowledge of that.
Oh, okay.
I'm sticking with my White Collar story.
Okay.
So, another little Easter egg in this one, with the lie detector scenes with Triplet being connected to the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was a nice nod. So.
Right. Yeah, and it definitely felt like there was more, again, in this episode, subtle, but replacing Ward with Triplet and making you like Triplet more so that you'll accept them changing.
Right, and also along those lines, filling in the gap of, like, you know, have you ever heard of Alexander Pierce and him saying, well, I remember Garrett talked to him a bunch of times, but I never really knew him. So sort of filling in that connection.
Right.
Without him really being aware, or so we know.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're definitely doing a lot more in these last few episodes to connect everything together.
Yeah.
And make it feel more cohesive with the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Right. And as one of our other semi-regular co-hosts said to me this morning in talking about the episode, what they did with Ward in these last two episodes, specifically he was referencing last week's episode, but obviously he'll probably say that about this week too, it takes what he thought was boring and mundane about the season so far and turns it on its head, which it does. It totally does.
You mean Ward. Boring
yes, with
mundane.
Ward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
He went from boring to creepy.
Yes, very quickly.
Which is, yeah, albeit more interesting, but still.
I mean, I've known a lot of guys that have gone from boring to creepy, so it's, you know, not uncommon.
What are you saying, Dave?
Really?
Well, Ben, really? I'm going to run away now.
Okay. Well, we probably should. We filled up enough time, I think, for this week's episode. Well,
okay, so I want to ask
sure.
a quick question. So there's 3 episodes left.
Yes.
And from our understanding, there's not going to be any breaks. They're going straight through, right?
Yep, marathon.
Good. Yes.
So the first question is, do you feel that all the loose ends will be tied up in 3 episodes? I personally think they're going to definitely leave stuff open-ended.
And two,
if Ward is still with us at the end of the season, and of course still evil, do you think it'll get old next season if he's the bad guy the whole time?
I don't think so. I think if he's just he'll essentially if he gets outed by the end of the season completely, which I think is likely because I don't think that we'll see Sky still a captive by the end of the season per se. I could be wrong. But that could be a cliffhanger they leave, that she's still in there, still in the hands of the clutches of the bad guys, and that's what Coulson and friends have to go and deal with going into next season. But let's say that's not the case. Say that she does end up back in the fold, and they all get word and awareness that Ward is not, you know, one of the good guys. Then he just becomes one of the henchmen in this cadre of bad guys. Mm. That is Hydra and whatever they have to deal with.
Unless he takes over for Paxton.
That's an interesting turn. Yeah, that Paxton could end up getting taken out somehow, but, you know, have that succession plan in place. That they get away and they regroup and Ward becomes the new leader. And his real name the whole time has been whatever the real name of MODOK is.
Oh, good grief.
No.
Yes.
You don't think so?
No.
All right. Well, we'll see.
No, it'll be the leader.
The leader? No, yeah. They already addressed that in the movie universe.
No. He'll be the real Mandarin.
The Incredible Hulk is canon to the MCU. So the leader has been broached.
Right. But he could be, like I just said, he could be actually the real Mandarin.
I doubt that. I doubt that. Okay. And they've sort of broached the topic of the real Mandarin in the All Hail the King Marvel one-shot. They haven't addressed who he is, but they address that he exists and that there is a larger organization around him.
Right. So I'm going to pose that question to all of our listeners and watchers. Who do you think Ward really is in the greater Marvel universe? Post your answers in the comments section below. Thanks.
Or various other places where you can find us. So with that, let's do a round robin on what we gave a rating for this episode this week. John, let's start with you.
I'll give it an 8.5.
Okay. You like those half capes?
Well, it's not too low for an 8, but it's definitely not a 9. Yeah, okay. I'm very picky, I know.
I'm not nitpicking.
I'm just waiting to see if they try to pull a Silver Bolt Black Arachnia with these two, with Ward and anybody who knows. Yes,
yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
You actually
Beast
do?
Wars. I do. Beast Wars reference.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, okay. So any true geeks out there who understand that reference will understand that that could happen, but it'd be really...
it'd be really strange and convoluted.
Yes.
So, all right, Dave, thoughts?
Actually, before I give my thoughts, everyone...
One more thing.
Everyone watching, tomorrow we will be posting our Superhero Speak episode. We are celebrating our 1-year anniversary. So we are celebrating it in style with a clip episode. So,
it's all going to be paper clips, by the way.
Yes, all
paper. For 1 year, it's all paper clips.
Paper clips. Yeah, so make sure you check that out. It's a really good episode. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, it's a really good jumping on point. All right, so get that the plugs out of the way. I don't think they're going to go too far. Like, I think whatever's going to happen with Sky and Ward, it's going to be... somewhat resolved next episode, because Sky was all freaked out in the bathroom and then she looked and all of a sudden calmed down. So she has a plan. She's got something up her sleeve that we're not seeing yet. So
maybe. Go ahead.
So that sub plot being thought. I can't give it as high as John gave it, because they killed Patton. So I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
Okay. I personally think her plan went so far as not to die, and so she played whatever card Good she needed plan. To avoid death. Beyond that, I don't know how deep her plan runs. Maybe it runs deeper than I'm thinking, but who knows? We'll find out next week. I'm going to split the difference on that. I'm going to give it an 8 capes. I thought, yeah, it was a solid episode. It was enjoyable. We had some fun parts. We had some good Easter eggs, and there was plot development. I have no complaints. What did it blow me out of my chair? No, not at all. But it was definitely really enjoyable. I can't find any faults with it. So that's where I give it an 8.
Okay. But don't forget, they showed that Sky can think on her feet before and get out of sticky situations. I think she's going to surprise you.
Maybe. It depends on who's writing the episode. It varies week to week. I'm looking forward to seeing the next 3 episodes and seeing how they play it out. Obviously, we saw that we'll be seeing Maria Hill next week. And there has been, I think, confirmed announcement/rumor that Nick Fury should be in the finale. Right. So a lot of fun stuff in the days ahead.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, as usual. To the rest of you, don't get your cape caught in the door.
Hell, Hydra. Oh, God.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.